And welcome to the Educate Your Travel Podcast. Once again, my name is Jordan Carnes. Thank you so much for joining me today. I cannot wait to get into this episode, hopefully just invigorate you, get you excited about getting up, getting out, and traveling, exploring, and experiencing the world. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and quit talking so I can keep talking, and let's get into the episode. Egypt is absolutely wild. It's a crazy ride from start to finish. And, you know, it's absolutely incredible. All of your senses will be just off the charts. And I spent a week there. So once again, another 5-6 full days for this itinerary here. And I went back in 2018, I went in the fall, I actually went over Thanksgiving break, and this was a great time to visit. There's so much to see. I honestly did not see everything that I wanted to see. And so I'm going to go ahead and give you, some other itinerary tips, towards the end, of this episode. Of things I did not see that hopefully if I get to go back, I will go check out my second time to Egypt. But this first time, I spent most of my time in Cairo and the Giza area, and then also in Luxor. Those are my main two stops, and there was a ton to see there. Definitely had a jam-packed schedule, but then obviously there are a few places that I would have liked to have gone as well. I didn't get the chance to. So first off, let's start off in Cairo. That's where you're going to fly into more than likely. And I actually had a layover in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. And I had a long layover there. I'm actually going to do a separate episode over my day in the UAE. So I'll create that podcast later on. But I did have a layover there, and then I arrived in Cairo. I actually arrived pretty late in the afternoon. It was getting kind of dark, and so I stayed in Giza, and that's a really good home base, in my opinion, for a couple days in Cairo and the Giza area. They're actually about 45 minutes to an hour apart, depending on the traffic. But you know, they're close enough where you can, you know, stay in one and visit the other. So I'm going to start off with my itinerary in Giza, and obviously you have to go see the pyramids. You have to go see the Great Pyramid, the two other large minor pyramids, and then there's also, the pyramids of the queens there, as well. So very cool. I mean, that is iconic Egypt. I don't really see, if you've never been to Egypt, why this would not be on your list of things to do. It's one of the ancient wonders of the world, the only one that's like really completely still there, and it's magnificent. I recommend going early in the morning for a couple reasons. One, it's not going to be as busy because the tour groups won't get there until you know, around 10, 11 o'clock. And then also, it's not as hot. It gets pretty hot. I mean, you're in Africa, so it's going to get hot there in the afternoons. So it's a little bit cooler in the daytime or in the morning time. And then third, it gets really hazy. I think it's because of the dust and the heat. And I'm sure the city is like right there next to the pyramids too. I'm sure that doesn't help. But you know, by 10, 11 o'clock, it's so hazy sometimes, like you can barely see the pyramids from a distance. It's pretty remarkable. I remember I took a camel ride out onto some of the dunes a little bit of a distance away from the pyramids, and I took some pretty awesome photos, and then looking back on those pictures, you can barely see the outlines of the pyramids, and it's like they're these huge structures, and I'm like maybe a quarter of a mile away. And the haze is just completely engulfing them. So definitely get out there in the morning for multiple reasons. I'm sure some days are super clear. The day I spent there was maybe just a special occasion. But definitely go early. You will not regret starting your day at the Great Pyramid. And obviously, while you're there, the Sphinx is right there. I recommend going in at the entrance near the Sphinx. It's not as crowded. That's normally where people who like walk visit, or if you take a cab, you might stop there. The main entrance is on the other side of the Great Pyramid, and that's where all of the tour buses go. You will have to go there to buy your ticket to get inside the Great Pyramid. But you know, I just went in the Sphinx gate, and then when I was ready to go on to the Great Pyramid, then I just walked over to the other entrance, bought that ticket, and you know, went in from there. So not too inconvenient there. Now, camel rides, I know there's controversy, you know, about the humaneness of how they treat the animals and things like that. I'm not going to get into all that. I will say, you know, riding a camel there, it's a pretty cool experience. And also, some of the places that you go for good views of the pyramids, it's hard to walk there. I mean, it's just completely sand. And so it's difficult to walk a long distance in all that sand. It takes you forever. But then a camel ride gets you there pretty quickly and pretty easily. So, you know, be on the lookout for, you know, possible people you wouldn't want to work with while you're there. But I'm not going to get into the whole politicalness of whether you should ride a camel or not. That's your decision. And that's just up to you and how you feel about it. Now, going inside the Great Pyramid, this is one of those things, sort of like in my previous episodes, like the Eiffel Tower. You know, should you go inside the Great Pyramid? Now, for me, I have loved Egypt since I was like 8 years old, and I have read like every Egypt book, watched every Egypt documentary I ever was able to find. And so for me, going inside the Great Pyramid was, you know, something I had to do. I was like, I'm in Egypt, I'm standing here looking at the Great Pyramid. Why would I not, you know, pay? It was kind of expensive, like maybe $10 or something to go inside. And so I did. And I'm going to be honest, there was nothing special about the inside of the Great Pyramid. It's been looted. There's, you know, everything important has either been stolen or taken to the museum. There was the bottom half of the sarcophagus inside. And it was honestly quite a perilous little trek up there. You have to like climb a ladder that's just like a board with wooden nails rung into it, or wooden rungs nailed into it. So, you know, if that's not something that really just gets you going, then you might want to skip it. But for me, who just loves Egypt and is all about that, that was something I definitely had to check off the list. So, I recommend it just for the experience, but you know, that's up to you. I don't think you'll necessarily kick yourself for not going in if it's not that important to you at the time. Now, there is a sound and light show at the Great Pyramids. I believe there's also one at the either Temple of Karnak or Luxor Temple in Luxor. I didn't actually see that one. But the one in at the Great Pyramids. It was interesting. I actually was able to watch it from my hotel balcony. I got a hotel literally right across the street from the entrance, which I highly recommend. But, you know, I don't know if I would have paid to go in to see it. But I sat up there and I watched it a couple times while I was in Giza. And it was pretty cool. They have like this ominous music playing, and they have some lasers shooting up on the Sphinx. So it's a nice little atmosphere, but I don't think I would necessarily recommend, you know, driving there and paying, you know, to go see that. I don't think it was that extraordinary. Now, also, besides the Great Pyramids, about 30, 45 minutes away, via a taxi, is Saqqara and Dasher. Now, Saqqara used to be the old burial ground, so they would bury the kings and the high priest and all those upper officials at Saqqara, and then they moved to the pyramids, and then they moved to the Valley of the Kings in Luxor. So this is kind of one of the first ancient burial grounds in Egypt. The I believe it's the oldest temple, the oldest pyramid in Egypt and possibly the world, I believe, is in Saqqara. It's called the Step Pyramid or the Pyramid of Djoser. And so that's an iconic place that you have to go. For some reason, I don't feel like that's high on the list for a lot of people. But for me, that's a pretty iconic pyramid, and one that you should definitely add to your list. It's not as crowded as the pyramids of Giza. The pyramids of Giza were absolutely insane with the tour groups and all of the people selling you things and, just hustling you to death. But the Saqqara, I went close to closing time, and there were a few people there, but it was definitely a little more subdued than the Great Pyramid. So definitely recommend going to Saqqara. There's an old temple there that's really cool to see as well. And then also on the way to Saqqara from Giza, you'll go through Dasher, which is where the Red Pyramid is, and also the Bent Pyramid. Now, I believe I have my facts right here. You start off with the Step Pyramid. That was like the original pyramid. And then they started, to try and make the sides smooth and not steppy. And so, not sure that's a word. But anyways, so then they created, a normal looking pyramid. But they just didn't have the architecture right and the engineering correct. And so the sides started to kind of like collapse. And so it created the Bent Pyramid, which it's still pretty cool. It's definitely not, the sides are not as straight, they are more sloped looking. And then the Red Pyramid, I believe, was like the first actual pyramid looking pyramid. It has the straight sides and all that. And then I believe after that, then they moved to Giza and started building on the Giza Acropolis over there. Now, you can go inside the Red Pyramid. I did. It was easier to, explore than Khufu's pyramid, and it was definitely cheaper. If you want to go into a pyramid, the Red Pyramid is definitely a little bit more convenient to access than the Great Pyramid. Now, also, you're going to have Memphis sort of along that same route. Actually, my taxi driver, they all have their buddies that they try and help out to sell things. And so we stopped in Memphis, and it's actually one of the. It's known for its alabaster stonework and also its papyrus. And so, if you're gonna buy like legit alabaster sculptures or any sort of papyrus like artwork or things like that, Memphis is probably the place you want to buy it. It wasn't too expensive to. I bought some of each the papyrus art for myself and then some stone sculptures for family. It wasn't too expensive, and then it was actually kind of nice because then throughout Egypt, everyone who was trying to hustle you was like, "Oh, you should buy my alabaster sculptures," and or the papyrus, and I'd say, "Oh, I already have some," and then they'd ask me where I got it. When I told them Memphis, they were like, "Oh, okay, that's like good quality stuff. I can't really tell you that you made a bad decision there." So it was kind of helpful that I kind of got, twisted into stopping in Memphis. For the rest of the trip. So, I would, if you are looking to buy, some souvenirs, Memphis is a good place to do it. One last thing, over in Saqqara, there are quite a few other pyramids that are almost just completely disappearing from the desert. And so, honestly, if you're in Saqqara and you're looking around and you see like a little mound of rubble or what looks like a little mountain, that's a pyramid. And it's pretty cool just because they're kind of littered everywhere. And so you're just looking and you're like, huh, there's some rocks piled up there. And then, oh, you find out later that was an actual pyramid. And there are some tombs there. They were closing when I got there. And so I was able to, sneak into one real quick before they locked it up. And they were pretty neat as well. Definitely not the quality of the Valley of the Kings. But, for your first taste of, a burial chamber. It's pretty neat there as well. Now, I guess I could put this in the itinerary. I don't know where else it would fit in. There's a really famous Pizza Hut in Giza. It's right across the street from the pyramids. It's like a two-story. I think there's like a KFC on the bottom floor and then Pizza Hut like the second and third floor. And for some reason I'd always seen that picture of the pyramids through a Pizza Hut window. And so I was like, I'm going to eat there because that's like an iconic picture of Egypt in my mind. And it was actually right across, like two doors down from my hotel. And so one night I went over there, and you can actually watch the sound and light show from the Pizza Hut, like the balcony on the second or third floor. So that's one way. If you don't stay near the Giza complex, you can go eat at that Pizza Hut during the sound and light show, and watch the show as you enjoy your pizza. I had like a seafood pizza, and it was really good. So that's something really random that I threw into my itinerary. If you want to do that, that's awesome. Understand if you're like, that's dumb, whatever. Okay, so next you have Cairo, which, like I've mentioned already, is like 30 minutes, 45 minutes away. If you're visiting these places, you're either going to stay in Giza or Cairo. And so in Cairo, I did not spend too much time. I spent about half a day, and I'm sure there is so much more to see in Cairo. So I'm not going to even, pretend like I saw, a snippet of it, like a drop in the barrel at the most. But do go to the Citadel and the Mosque of Muhammad Ali. And it's a really high point in the city, and it offers a great view of New Cairo. And so, once again, it was very hazy when I was up there, but you could definitely see, all the buildings and just a good layout of the city. And I always like to get those good, high up views, of the city that you're visiting. It just kind of adds to the experience. And so the Mosque of Muhammad Ali, besides, it was really beautiful, the artwork, the architecture, and everything like that. But the view was probably the high point for me while I visited. Also, you obviously have to visit the Cairo Museum. This is one of the most important museums, in my opinion, in the world. Like, I would put it top five museums in the world. And it's just magnificent. There's so much stuff there. I'm gonna be honest, the presentation at the Cairo Museum is terrible. Everywhere you look says it, and it's true. I mean, there's just stuff thrown everywhere in this museum. There's like showcases with just stuff piled on top of each other. There are markings and labels for most everything, but it's just very haphazard. And I think it's just because they've been in this building for so long and they just keep discovering, so much new stuff that they just have nowhere to put it. And so they're just running out of room. But they are building a new museum. And I'm not exactly sure when this museum is supposed to open. I think it's supposed to open in 2021. I'm not sure if COVID has disrupted those plans or not. It was being built when I was there, and I was able to see it, and it's going to be incredible. It's so modern looking, and they're supposed to have great presentation. It's just going to be a really good layout. And I think, when they build that museum, as long as they keep it up, and it serves the purpose that it's supposed to, that's going to be, an incredible museum to visit. And I'm really actually looking forward to visiting that museum when it opens, hopefully next year sometime. Now, while you're at the Cairo Museum, now I've also heard that, right now is not the best time to visit the Cairo Museum because they are in the process of moving things from one museum to the other. While I was there, I was a little worried, and this was back in 2018, that I wasn't going to get to see some of King Tut's artifacts. Because I had heard that they were already in the process of moving his items between museums. But fortunately, everything that I was looking forward to seeing was still there, like his funeral gold mask, all of his sarcophagi, Just a bunch of his artifacts, like his throne, just his bed, all those things like that that I had seen before, and wanted to see in person were all there. But I would definitely check, currently to see before you leave where all those artifacts are, and just to make sure you at least know what to expect when you get there and you're not showing up and King Tut's funeral mask is not there and you have a ton of disappointment. So, kind of do a little bit of research there on your own before you leave, just to know what to expect when you show up. I would still go if you're going to Egypt, definitely stop by because there are still a lot of other stuff to see that is worth your while. Also, you have to buy a photo pass. So you have to buy a pass to take pictures in the museum. I never had that checked, but I was just using like my phone camera. I'm sure if you had like some professional grade camera set up, they would definitely come up and check. So definitely buy the photo pass, just be on the safe side, and then buy a pass for the mummy room. This has there was probably 10, 15 mummies in this room. And there are mummies outside of that room, but this is where like the big boys are set up. So you have like Ramesses, and you have like Ramesses' mom. You have just a whole bunch of the key pharaohs set up in this mummy room, and so that's pretty cool to see. Just I don't know if you're into mummies, it's cool. And then just if you're into history and you know who this pharaoh is, and then bam, there's his mummy. That's pretty unique. So I definitely recommend buying the mummy room pass and then the photo pass as well. And then one of the last things in Cairo that I'm gonna recommend is the El Khalili Bazaar. Now when I was there, I'm pretty sure I got scammed out of this one. But I tried to go to El Khalili right after the Cairo Museum. And it was some holiday, some Egyptian or religious holiday. And so I was kind of concerned that some things like scheduling would be changed because of that holiday. But I did a lot of research and I didn't really find anything that would prove that. And so when I showed up and I asked to go to El Khalili, my taxi driver said that it's closed for that certain holiday that I was there for. And I kind of argued with him a little bit because I thought I was getting scammed, but he was really persistent with it. And so I ended up going to the Old Cairo Market, which was not as interesting. And so I wouldn't necessarily recommend going to that one. It was a cool experience just to be in sort of the slummy part of town there. But definitely go to El Khalili Market or Bazaar. That will definitely be a pretty cool experience, and hopefully, I get to go there next time I'm in Egypt as well, because I think that'd be a cool experience, and just a wild ride inside that market. After your time in Cairo, there are multiple places that you can go, but Luxor is the place I knew I'd get the most bang for my buck when it came to archaeological sites and Egyptology. After 2 full days in Giza, Cairo area, I flew down to Luxor, and you can take a train down to Luxor. I'm sure you could take a Nile cruise if you wanted to. I think the train's one of the more popular options, but I flew, and the reason I flew is one, it obviously saved me time. It was like an hour flight. But it was pretty cheap. It obviously wasn't cheaper than like a train ticket, but it was like, $30, $40. And so to me, that was worth the, 6 hours or whatever I would save flying as opposed to, taking an overnight train or whatever. Now, there's so much to do in Luxor, and there's the West Bank, there's the East Bank. The West Bank is, the in Egyptology, the death side of the river, and the east side is more the life side of the river, just because the sun rises in the east, it sets in the west. So east is, that rebirth, of the sun and of life, and then the west is the sun setting and the death of life. The West Bank is going to have the Valley of the Queens, the Valley of the Kings, and then there's also quite a few temples and things like that over there as well. Now, I recommend getting a taxi for the day in Luxor. I only spent, one day with a full day taxi, so I can't really compare and contrast, the cost of having a taxi for a day versus the cost of having a taxi for each individual leg of the trip. But just for convenience sake, knowing that that taxi driver is going to be sitting out there waiting for you, and then you just have to, pay him one time. It wasn't too expensive. It was maybe like $30, $40 for the day. And that was, maybe like 8 hours of driving and seeing sights. And my taxi driver was actually, he was very knowledgeable, obviously, and he kind of helped me pick out some other sites that I hadn't necessarily originally planned on. I would definitely recommend that taxi for a day. I think it will really help out your trip and kind of give you that peace of mind and ease of travel there. In Luxor on the West Bank, definitely hit up the Valley of the Kings. That's probably one of the most iconic places in Luxor. And depending on, there's so many different tombs there. Some of them are open all the time, and then the rest of them, they kind of rotate when they're open. So I can't really tell you, go to these definitely because they might not be open while you're there. I'm pretty sure King Tut's tomb is open all the time. It's definitely not the most impressive tomb, but he is probably one of the most famous pharaohs in Egypt. I've been fascinated with him since I was little. And so, I definitely was going to have to go see his tomb. That is an extra ticket. So when you go, you buy a ticket and you can go to three different tombs. If you want to go see King Tut's tomb, you have to pay extra. And then if you want to take pictures, you also have to pay extra. I would definitely buy the photo pass because they will check your photo pass there. And then I would recommend going to see King Tut, especially if you went to the Cairo Museum and you saw all of his artifacts from his tomb. Kind of just piecing all that stuff together is really cool. When I was there, I went to Ramesses III. I also went to Tosser and Setnacht, and then Nepta. I'll put those last two in the description so you can read what I just said. And really, that was just some quick researching to determine which tombs were the best out of like the 10 that were open at the time. Ramesses was really cool, and then Merneptah, and then was really awesome. And then Tassut and Setnacht were pretty nice as well. All in all, I was satisfied with the three tombs I saw. I thought they were all very unique, and the artwork inside, and the carvings and the reliefs were all very nice in those three tombs. Same with King Tut's. I did enjoy my time in King Tut's. In fact, this is an interesting comparison here, but if I had to choose between either going inside the Great Pyramid or going into King Tut's tomb, two of those kind of just for the experience things, King Tut's tomb was definitely more impressive of those two options. So do with that little comparison what you will. Also, the Valley of the Queens is nearby, and that's obviously where the queens were buried. And they were not necessarily as impressive, except for Nefertari's tomb. Nefertari's tomb was, I believe it had been sealed off for a really long time, and they just recently reallowed tourism into a Nefertari's tomb. And that was another extra ticket as well, just like King Tut's. But Queen Nefertari's tomb was the most impressive tomb I saw in the valley over any of the kings. Nefertari was by far number one, just because it had been closed off for so long. The artwork was magnificent. The colors were phenomenal. Like, you would have thought this thing had been repainted yesterday, but it's all original. And, it's just crazy to think that all the temples, all the tombs used to look exactly like that. So definitely, if you're going to the Valley of the Queens, spend the extra few bucks to go to Nefertari's. You will not regret doing that. The rest of the Queen's tubes that I saw, I was not as impressed, but I had the ticket for it, so I was going to use it. But Nefertari definitely made up for the rest of the Valley of the Queens. Also on the West Bank is the Ramesseum, which was a temple for Ramesses. This temple was really unique because they were still doing some archaeological stuff. And so that was really cool. I think they had a French team out there. And so being, really involved in Egyptology when I was growing up and really interested in it, seeing, archaeologists at work was really cool. And I kind of just sat there for a little bit and watched them do their work, and that was really neat. Also, that was going on in the Valley of the Kings. There were like 50 people out there digging into the side of the mountains. While I was out there, and that was pretty cool to witness as well. There's also the Colossi of Memnon, which are two big statues that are pretty, worse for the wear, but they're really impressive. They're just sitting on the side of the road as you're driving on the West Bank, and so a lot of people just pull over, take a quick picture, and then keep on going. That's what I did. You're not going to spend a lot of time there. They used to stand at the front of another temple that was there. And what's really impressive is they're carved out of one, each one is carved out of one solid piece of stone. And so that's pretty impressive that they got it there and then they're able to carve it out of one piece of rock. So that's a cool little pit stop, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes max that you're going to spend there. And then also Medinet Habu. Is a really cool temple. This is one that I did not actually go to. I did see it, but I did not go inside. And it has a really, in my opinion, famous carving of one of the pharaohs, hunting or shooting a bow and arrow on the front. That's a really cool relief. And if I had to do it over again, I would definitely go to Medinet Habu as well. And then also Hatshepsut's temple. There's just so much to do in Luxor. I honestly forgot about Hatshepsut's temple. And this is, a pretty iconic site in Luxor, but there's just so much that I had on my itinerary to do that I honestly, it just slipped my mind. And so the next day, the second day in Luxor, I took a hot air balloon flight, which is next on my itinerary, but I took a hot air balloon flight, and we're flying along, and I see this temple, and I'm like, that's Hatshepsut's temple. Why is that not on my list? And so I already had a jam-packed day, coming up, and so I never actually added it to the list, but that just goes to show there's so much history, and things to see there that you really just have to choose. Pick and choose what is most important on your list. And if I went back, I would go to Medinet Habu and the Hatshepsut Temple. But those I was not able to fit into this itinerary on this trip. So, like I just mentioned, I did go on a hot air balloon flight, and I would definitely recommend doing that. You fly over the West Bank, you start near the Ramesseum. And you fly over the Ramesseum, you fly, over the Colossi of Memnon, Medinet Habu, near the Hatshepsut Temple. You're flying not over the Valley of the Kings, but you can see it. I've been on a couple of hot air balloon flights, and I can honestly say this was my favorite one. It was just gorgeous. You could see the Nile River, you can see, the fertile banks, and then you can just like someone just got a pair of scissors and cut off the greenery, and then there's just desert and sand as far as you can see. So I would definitely recommend a hot air balloon flight while you're in Luxor. That cost me around $80, but totally worth it. And I would definitely do that again if I had the opportunity. Now on the East Bank, there's two main sites, and that's the Karnak Temple and the Luxor Temple. The Luxor Temple is pretty neat, and it has a lot of different influences. There's like a mosque, like kind of built into the Luxor Temple, and so when you enter the Luxor Temple, it's like maybe 10 feet above your head, and there's just like when I went, there was some guy like praying up there, and I just like walked and like I waved at him and kept on going into the Luxor Temple. And then also inside the temple, there's like Roman Christian art painted up on the walls over the hieroglyphics from the Roman era of Egypt. And so that's really cool, just sort of the blending of culture. And of just civilizations there that you can see within that temple. So that's really awesome. And then definitely recommend going in the morning. I got there as soon as they opened, and I had that place to myself for a solid hour. I was able to see the entire complex, and then I did not see other people until I was leaving. And because of that, there were no people trying to sell me things. It was just really peaceful, and I was able to really enjoy my time at the Luxor Temple. Karnak Temple was the complete opposite. I went there around noon, and the Karnak Temple is the largest open-air museum in the world, and this complex is ginormous. And I probably spent a couple hours there. But there were so many people. I went there around noon, and there were just probably 50 tour buses lined up. And at first I was kind of disappointed. And I mean, going at noon, you have to expect it. But I was like, dang, this is gonna suck. I've been enjoying, not having a lot of people around. But when I showed up, because there were so many people there, the people trying to like sell stuff and kind of hassle you. There were so many people for them to choose from. I was one, either kind of just able to slip through everybody and not get bothered, or normally if you say no in Egypt, they're very consistent, and they're just like, buy this, here, have this gift, have this, have that. But because there were so many people at the Karnak Temple, if you said no, they would just be like, oh, okay, and then they'd go ask somebody else. They had so many options to choose from. Like, if you said no, they were not gonna waste their time on you. So, that's one of the times where I was like, huh, I don't mind having so many people around, especially because it is such a huge complex. Even with hundreds of people there, there were still times I would find myself like in a room by myself, or I would look through like a bunch of columns and not see anybody. So, definitely visit the Karnak Temple and the Luxor Temple. While you are there, there are some cool markets, but definitely be careful. They will try and scam you. That's just something that you can't really avoid. So just be careful at the markets. Now, that's my itinerary. There were some small things, thrown in there, but these are the main stops for my itinerary for my week in Egypt. And so I'm going to go ahead and throw in a couple more things that I would recommend if you had longer than a week, or if, one of these stops, if you'd rather go to one of these new places instead of, say, Luxor or Giza. There's so much to do in Egypt. I think to do everything, you would need at least 2, maybe 3 weeks. And 2 weeks would definitely be jam-packed. I think 3 weeks would make it a little bit more comfortable. So a week in Egypt, definitely not going to be able to see all this stuff. But if you are planning on going longer or want some other options, Abu Simbel is definitely a place that I will go to if I get to return to Egypt. It's in southern Egypt, and it's a huge temple complex. You have your statues, like carvings in the mountain, and they actually moved this entire complex whenever they built the Aswan Dam, and I still want, I want to try and find like a documentary to see how they did this because they literally moved a mountain temple. And I don't understand how that is possible, but they did it. So it's not in the actual location that it was originally. They flooded this whole area that it used to sit for the Aswan Dam, so they had to move it. But that's in and of itself really impressive that they were able to do that. I believe down there near Abu Simbel is the unfinished obelisk, and then the Philae Temple, which all would be pretty interesting stops as well. So those are all down there in southern Egypt. To get to Abu Simbel, you can take a Nile cruise from Luxor, and I would definitely do that. If I had the time, I would definitely take a Nile cruise. I think that would just be a really cool experience to have. To just say that you've done, and it gets you where you need to go. So definitely, I would take a Nile cruise if I had the time, and would recommend that. Next is Alexandria. Alexandria is one of the biggest cities in Egypt. Ton of history there. The lighthouse at Alexandria used to be there. Obviously, it's not there anymore. It's one of the ancient wonders of the world. But you can still visit the site where it used to be. And I think they used some of the blocks and, materials from the lighthouse to build something else that's sitting on the site. So, a lot of the ancient wonders of the world, you kind of just have to, choose what you say is seeing it. And so I would go back because, it's the ancient wonder of the world. And even if it's not there, you can kind of see the site. See the setting, things like that. So Alexandria would definitely be a cool place to go. The Library of Alexandria used to be there too, obviously, as well. Now the Red Sea, is in Egypt, or borders Egypt. There's tons of great like snorkeling and diving, and like beach resorts, and it looks beautiful. I have some friends who have gone there, and it looks gorgeous. So, if you have a couple days, or if you're really just looking for a really relaxing like beach vacation in Egypt, go to the Red Sea. I think that'd be a really awesome few days as well. And then finally, kind of on the same note, across the Red Sea is the Sinai Peninsula, which is part of the Sinai Peninsula is Egypt as well. I guess pretty much all of the Sinai Peninsula is Egypt. I'm pretty sure the Sinai Peninsula is a little dangerous, a little sketchy, so that might be one of those places where you might need to, go with a group or go with a guide. I'm not sure if I would recommend going solo, but Sinai Peninsula looks very pretty as well, just the landscape, and everything, that I've seen about it looks pretty incredible as well. So, that's my itinerary plus a few extra things that I hope to add to my next itinerary, if I get to go back to Egypt. So hopefully this kind of helps you create sort of a skeleton of a plan for your trip to Egypt, and gives you some info and knowledge about your trip. Okay, so for some quick logistics for this trip, I'll go ahead and right off the bat go ahead and tell you I spent $2,300 for this entire trip. Like I mentioned at the beginning, I did spend a day in the UAE, the United Arab Emirates. And so, that total does include that portion of the trip. And so, at the time, the cheapest flight was through Emirates, and so looking at my flight, it was $1,400 through the UAE for my layover. And now I did some research today. You can get a round trip flight. You have two layovers for the cheapest, but it's around $800. And your layovers vary. I think most of them went through Germany or Switzerland or Canada. And that's from Dallas. So I did not do my research from, say, Newark, or the East Coast anywhere. I'm looking at Dallas here, $800. And so, once again, you have to keep into account that we are in a pandemic, so that is bringing the prices down a little bit, especially considering Egypt does have restrictions on travel right now. You do have to have your testing done, and then some countries are not allowed in at the moment. And so, I'm sure that plays a little bit into it, but I'm thinking you could probably get a flight there, around $1,000, maybe $1,100 would be a good price point for your flights round trip from, not the East Coast to Cairo and back. Now, that 1420 does include my flight to Luxor and back, but I already mentioned that was about $40. So that was a pretty cheap flight there. My hotels, I had a couple different hotels. I had my hotel in Giza, which was right across the street from the pyramids for 2-3 nights. And then I had a hotel in Luxor, which was pretty much right down the road from the Luxor Temple, and it's one of the highest rated hotels in Luxor. So I had, I guess that's around 5 nights for $215. So that's about $43 a night for hotels. And so that's not too bad. I believe my Giza hotel was probably on the higher end, so maybe around $50 a night for it. But let me tell you, that's going to be in my tip section. That was the best, best idea, best purchase that I made on my trip was to stay across the street from the pyramids. And I'll tell you why here in a few minutes. Food was very cheap for like a 6-day trip. I spent $65 on food. That's ridiculous. That's, $10, $11 a day. And I ate some good food. I ate, my Egyptian Pizza Hut. And then, Egyptian street food, and then, Egyptian restaurant meal food as well. So $65 for a week, for food, that's pretty good. Transportation was on the more expensive side, $225 for a week. This once again does include some transportation in the UAE, so I'm gonna bump that down to probably around $200 for transportation in Egypt. That's a lot of taxi rides, and that's really the only mode of transportation I took there. And my taxi ride from the pyramids to the airport, or the airport to the pyramid, that was around 45 minutes to an hour. And when you take a cab from the airport, you have to go through like a company to do it. They don't just have random taxi drivers there. You actually have to book it at like a little stand, get a ticket for it, and pay for it there. And so it was a little bit more on the expensive side because it's more regulated, but it kind of protects you as a tourist there. So that was maybe like around $20, $25 for that hour-long ride out to Giza, which, $25 for an hour-long taxi ride. It could be worse. I've paid that for like a 30-minute cab ride in like Europe somewhere. So definitely not expensive when you think about it relatively. And then like I said, my day taxi in Luxor cost me around, it cost me around $40-$45 for the whole day. I think whenever I booked that. I kind of haggled down the price to around $25 to $30 a day for the day for my base fare. But then when you're in Egypt, they really do expect you to tip the taxi driver. And so I did end up tipping him like 15 extra dollars just because, he was prompt. He knew where to take me. He did a great job. We did take one detour. I don't think you can get around that, but it was like 15 minutes to an alabaster store. And so, I thought he was a really good driver, so I went ahead and tipped him a little extra. So it cost me around $40-$45 for the whole day. But to me, that's still a really good deal thinking about it now, to drive me all over the West Bank and give me the knowledge that he did along the way. So tickets were also kind of expensive. But it's really one thing is they don't offer like a pass. Like in my last episode, I talked about the Paris Museum Pass where you buy one thing and that gets you in everywhere. They don't have that option in Egypt. I think that'd be a really good idea if they did, just because they have so many sites. But you have to buy a ticket for everything you do there. And then sometimes you have to buy two or three tickets for one thing that you do there. Like at the Giza Plateau, you have to pay to get in. You have to pay to go inside the Grand Pyramid, or like the Valley of the Kings. You have to pay to get in. You have to pay to take pictures. You have to pay to go into, the certain tomb that you might want to go into. At the museum, you had to pay to take pictures, you had to pay to get in, you had to pay to go to the museum room or the mummy room. So, like one site might have three different tickets. So, I did spend about $325 on tickets, but I did see so much. And when you think about each individual ticket was like $3 or $4, it doesn't really seem like a lot, but it does add up. So, if that's an issue, you might have to just keep a close eye on what you're seeing, and all the extra things that you're adding on to that one original ticket. Souvenirs, throw that in there, about $85. I got quite a few things, some of that alabaster, papyrus, different art, things like that. So all in all, I would say Egypt is not that expensive of a place. It's it is crazy. And you might pay for it with some gray hairs, but cost-wise, it's not that expensive, and you definitely get your money's worth. And 20, I'm gonna go ahead and go down to say $2,200 for a full trip to Egypt. And actually, let's cut it down to 2,000. Once again, I think we could do this trip to Cairo for a week for $2,000. That's another really good price for an amazing historical, just cultural experience in Egypt. So that's sort of my cost breakdown. Definitely I could break it down a lot farther, but just sort of the overall $2,000 for a trip to Egypt. Great price. Once again, won't really kill the budget there. And you'll have a great trip for that amount. So for tips and tricks and travel hacks for Egypt, I have quite a few. I have a few minor ones and then a couple really major ones that I really want you to consider before you go. But real quick, right off the bat, Uber actually works in Egypt, especially in Cairo and the big city. And I used it one time. And if you do not want to have to, hassle with a taxi driver, or kind of barter for a price, use Uber, because, as soon as you, like Uber tells you how much it's going to cost. So you accept it and you book it, and that's the cost. You don't have to tip them. You don't have to pay them extra. Like all that's taken care of. It is a cash-based Uber service in Cairo. So you will have to pay cash. You won't be able to like pay through the app like normal. But that cost is cut and dry. This is it. And the drivers are still working on that star basis, and so they're not gonna hassle you or do anything like that. So if you don't want to have to worry about that, Uber does work in Cairo and might be a good option for you. I would also recommend, this is a huge little tip here, is hotel location in Giza. Now, I've said this before, I really, enjoy good location for my hotels. And in Egypt, it was really prevalent of how important this was. After spending a day, at the Giza Pyramid Complex, you are just totally exhausted. At least I was. I mean, this was my previous international travel experience had been like France and Romania, and just Europe in general, Mexico. And so Egypt was just on you like white on rice. They were constantly hassling you. They were trying to, get you to buy their souvenirs. They wanted to take pictures with you and then charge you for them. They were trying to just get at you from every angle. And so, you were just having to like constantly say no, say just like you're just avoiding people left and right at the pyramids. And so then to be able to go up on the balcony of my hotel that was right across the street from the pyramids and just sit there, take a sigh of relief, and then still be able to experience and witness the pyramids out in front of me and be able to see the hustle and bustle that was going on down there, but not actually be involved in it was amazing. I would sit up there each night and each morning for sunrise and sunset. And it was all of the benefits of being at the pyramids without actually being at the pyramids. So I totally recommend booking a hotel that is right across the street or very close to the pyramids so you can really experience it, but without all the hassle that you might experience down there. Now, definitely go to the pyramids, experience that. But you want some time to just to be able to sit there and enjoy. Like, I was standing at the Sphinx and I'm just staring at it. I have my headphones in and I'm just like really enjoying the moment. And then bam, out of nowhere, there's like 10 people just like trying to just, shove stuff into my hands and then like say that I was buying it and then charge me or take a picture and then ask me for money, and it's just like you have 2 seconds of tranquility where you can just kind of take in the moment and then it's gone. And that's great. That's all part of the, adventure and the experience. But I just want to be able to enjoy what I'm seeing. I've traveled halfway around the world to, be here, and I want to be able to just, take that moment in and really appreciate what I'm seeing. And so having that vantage point was very important to me and it paid off big. So I definitely recommend having a good view at your hotel so you can appreciate and enjoy that experience from a different perspective. Now, if you are, running short on time like I was on this trip, I was just going, 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 I would definitely recommend flying between places, whether you're going to Abu Simbel, Luxor, Alexandria. It was cheap. It was like $30, $40 for your round trip flight from Cairo. And everywhere it's going to be like an hour. Down to Abu Simbel might have been an hour and a half. But it just saves you so much time. It's not that much more expensive than other modes of transportation. It's safe. Definitely would recommend flying. I would also recommend the taxi for the day in Luxor. Once again, I can't really compare and contrast a full day taxi versus not a full day taxi, but I can't imagine, the full day taxi being that much more expensive. And it's definitely a lot more convenient and easier for you as a tourist and as a traveler, just to know that, okay, as soon as I walk out, there's my taxi, let's go to the next place. And they're so knowledgeable. They've been doing this every day for like their whole life. And so they can kind of, if you have, a quandary of where you want to go, they definitely can kind of help you out with that itinerary. And then finally, I'm going to go ahead and give you your one key word for this trip is la shukran. La means no, shukran means thank you. So this is a double-edged sword right here, shukran. For when you're ordering food or you're buying something or someone's helping you out, tell them thank you. And then for everybody trying to sell you something, la shukran. This trip was 2 years ago and I've yet to forget that one phrase because I probably said it 5,000 times in 6 days. So you'll definitely be needing to say that. I think it kind of gets the point across more than if you just say no. Or even no thank you. I think, if you learn that phrase, they'll kind of respect that a little bit more than just saying no. So those are my tips and tricks for Egypt. One other thing I'm going to mention, I did do this trip solo, and I'm not sure. Depending on where you go and depending on your experience levels, being a first international trip, I do not know if I would recommend going solo to Egypt for your very first international trip. This was my second, and I felt comfortable, but there were times where, having a little bit of travel experience did come in necessary there. And then also being female, solo travel there, you definitely need to be comfortable with solo travel and confident in that. I definitely would not recommend that being a first female solo travel trip, just because it is a very aggressive culture. And, I had people, touching and pulling on my clothes and things like that. And especially if I was a woman, that would be very uncomfortable. And, maybe even a little terrifying experience, especially if you're not used to that, or not necessarily used to it, but if you don't know what to expect going into it and that just happens, it would be pretty terrifying. So, just keep that in mind. This is definitely, a trip that you should have a little bit of travel experience under your belt, especially if you're going solo. If you're going with a group, or with a friend who has experience, definitely, this is a great trip to go on. I'm not saying it's not. For the most part, they're very friendly. Egyptians are very friendly and, for the most part, very helpful, very nice. But, some of these people are just trying to make a dollar and they'll do what they need to do. And sometimes that can come across as aggressive. And so just be careful and keep that in mind before you book this trip or start to plan it. So with that being said, that's really all I've got for you for Egypt. An amazing place. I definitely, once again, here's another place I want to go back to just because there's so much stuff I did not get to see on this 1 week trip. So hopefully I can get another 1 week trip out of it and see the rest of these sites. But it's a great place for history, culture. There's just so much to see. Everywhere you turn is something new and exciting. So once again, do not forget, if you need some visuals for this podcast, hit up my Instagram at Educate Your Travel. Check out the saved Egypt story for my stories, my Instagram stories for this trip. I have basically my entire itinerary posted up there. Feel free to leave some comments here or there. I'd love to hear from you. If there's something I should add to my itinerary or take off, let me know why. And then once again, it's up to you to make your life interesting. So get up, get out, explore the world, and take that next adventure. Thank you once again for joining me today, and I can't wait to catch up with you next time.